latter lecture will be given by President Williams, of the chairman of the law faculty of Cambridge University, on the 27th of February. The lecture will be given by Professor Klein, International Coordination of Economic Policy. I would like you to make a note, if you would, of a change on the 13th of March. Professor Cohn, who was scheduled to appear that evening, was obliged to enter hospital, and I'm not sure of his state of health exactly, except to this extent that he will be unable to fulfill the commitment for the 13th of March. In place of that, we have what I think will be a delightful evening. Professor Dennis Chitty will speak to us on lemmings committing suicide. As you know, the Institute earnestly solicits your support. Support in every sense of that word, not just financial, although perhaps I could mention just a word about that. We ask that you become a member and contribute the modest fees to acquire that status. Those fees help to meet the many charges and expenses incurred in bringing to you your program. We also look to special individuals and institutions for additional help. For example, this evening, we are indebted to the Vancouver Sun for sponsoring the visit of our guest speaker. We are grateful for that support. Mesdames et messieurs, chers amis du Vancouver Institute, il m'a fait grand plaisir de vous présenter ce soir notre éminente compatriote du Québec, Madame Solange Chaput-Roland. And now, for those of us who are not yet bilingual, quelques mots en anglais. Madame was born in Montreal, where she was educated, as well as attending later on the Sorbonne in Paris. She is a writer of some eminence, a journalist, a political commentator, a moderator for radio and television. She was commissioner for the National Capital, having been appointed in 1975. She was elected to the Quebec National Assembly in November of 1979. She was influential during the May 1980 referendum, and she was, though relieved of the responsibilities in the National Assembly.
How elegantly said, sir. I was beaten.
She was created an officer of the Order of Canada by Governor General Jules Léger in 1975. She is speaking tonight on the topic Quebec after patriation. Included in the many books that she has written are books with topics such as this: My Country, Quebec and Canada, Quebec Year One, The Second Conquest. And then here's one that I wondered how it got by the Vancouver Sun: Les maudits journalistes.
Because it's not translated.
Okay. Madame was appointed as commissioner on the Pepin Robarts Task Force on Canadian Unity in 1977. At about that time, when she undertook that responsibility, she said, "Is it too late to convince Canadians that a third road is open? A road to a better life in this vast land?" Sans aucun doute, l'auditoire ici présent a aussi hâte comme moi de vous entendre. À vous donc la parole.
Merci. Monsieur le juge, Monsieur le président, Mesdames et messieurs, I'm going to speak English, don't worry. But being greeted with such courtesy in my own language, which is also yours at times, je pense qu'il était nécessaire que je dise merci en français à vous, monsieur, et surtout au Vancouver Sun, who has had the generosity to have me come all the way from Montreal and give me 3 beautiful rainy days in Vancouver. But because I have been in Vancouver many times before, I know the beauty of your city, and yet through the rain it shined. It's been so long in Montreal since we've seen daffodils or tulips or green, you know, and I'm indeed very happy to be here. These are not the platitude word with which usually a speaker gets up to speak, it is true. I love Vancouver. Every time I have been here, I have friends here. I hope I will have some after this lecture. And I'll do my best. There are 2 little things I would like to correct, if I may say, Monsieur le Juge. When I was asked to speak, the topic was indeed Quebec after patriation, and I did say to my agent, which I don't know if he's here tonight, whose name is Perry Goldsmith, and who is my agent, and you know, it seems it's very funny in Quebec when somebody asks me to make a lecture, I answer very proudly, "I have an agent in Vancouver." Takes 2 little minutes to sink in, and then they say, "Shall I phone?" And I say, "Well, why not?" So they do. So I'm here. And the topic cannot be Quebec after patriation because the process of patriation is not finished. So I thought maybe you would allow me to enlarge on that subject and take it from the Quebec referendum to Canadian patriation in order to try to explain to you how it feels when one lives in Quebec to see that process and to see that extraordinary way in which a constitution which was started with one of the very first province to be in is going to be patriated with that very same province out. And believe me, it's not an easy thing to understand, but I will try to make you understand how it feels, not judging, not prejudging, not opinionating. I've had all of this. And I'm not also going to be judged on the number of words I'll say in French to assess my Quebecness, or the numbers of words I will say in English to prove to you that I'm a good Canadian. You will have to take me as I am. Otherwise, there's no way. Mais je crois qu'il me faut quand même vous expliquer qui je suis maintenant. Because I think it's very important that when you listen to somebody, that you know where that somebody is in the field or the spectrum of politics and where I stand as an individual. Monsieur le Juge was kind enough to say in his beautiful words that I was released of my job of MP. I wish they didn't, but I was thoroughly beaten, okay? And I didn't like it much, but I will explain to you that I joined. No, let me start a bit way back. Yes, one of the things I am proudest of, is having been a commissioner on the task force of Canadian Unity. This has changed my complete outlook on Canada. This has changed my Quebec nationalism into something a bit bigger, a bit less bigoted than it was. And it has proven to me, because we have met with all the experts of Canada, that federalism is not as flexible as Mr. Trudeau tries to make us believe it is, and that it could be a lot more responsive to the needs of Canadians wherever they are. And because of that commission, this is the reason why, when 15 days before Mr. Ryan came to me after the Commission Pepin-Robert avait fini son ouvrage, that Mr. Ryan came to ask me to run for the Liberal in Prévost. I will explain to you why I said yes in Prévost. That the Piquist Party came to me and asked me to run for them too. So I thought if I was good for them, I surely could have gone, been good for the other, but it didn't quite work that way. So anyway, today I am a defeated Liberal. I am still somebody who believes, let me say it differently, I don't want to be free of Canada, but I want to be free in Canada, to be a Quebecer first, who speaks French, who thinks in French, who dreams in French, and who doesn't hate anybody else who doesn't do it. Is that all right? Okay. And I'm also somebody who dares to say what she thinks. I have no one to protect but me. And I'm 62 years old, so what? I had a chance to appear on Jack Webster's show yesterday morning. Some of you may have seen me. And he asked me whether I would like to be appointed to the Senate, and I said I would rather sleep at home. Voilà. And if there is any senator in this room, forgive me, but to each his own. So what I mean is that I am totally a free individual, and I have been involved in Canada for at least 15 years. I have written 12 books, and this is the last one. I brought it because I'm sure nobody's going to read it. It's in French, but you might try. It's the last one that came out in Quebec. I'm very pleased with it because it sells well. A little bit of publicity doesn't harm anybody. And it is the story of the Pepin-Robert and the story of the Liberal Party. And it is mainly the story about the referendum in Quebec. And this is what I want to speak to you about mostly. I was elected. I would like also to No, I'm going to speak to you with my heart. It will not make sense sometimes, but you'll follow me. You know, I err a bit, but I come back to my subject. I was asked to run in Prévost. Prévost is where the Roland paper mills are. And this belonged to our family, my husband's family. So I'm very proud of it. The Roland paper mills have been in Prévost, in Saint-Jérôme, for 100 years. Therefore, when I was asked to run there, I could not say, no, this is where I live, this is where my children were born, this is where they were educated, this is where my husband was. So I was very happy to represent Prévost, and I was elected with an overwhelming majority of 11,000. And that was something. We were very proud. Why? And my story, which will seem to you to be very self-centered, but one can only be witness of oneself. And one can only explain truly to people what one has lived in order that you will understand what others have lived. And I have lived it to the full extent, the full ecstasy of winning, because it's a hell of a lot of fun to win an election, let me tell you. It's fun. The children were excited. My husband was thrilled. We were kissing, drinking, dancing, everything. Boy, it was fun. I loved it, every minute of it. Mr. Ryan was delighted. He hugged me, kissed me, imagine. So it was a great victory for the women of Quebec. Anyway, why was I elected with such great majority? Not because it was Solange Chapiroland. An individual is very little in the terms of one's country. A human being, whether it's a woman, young or old, is a very little thing when the time comes to measure your faith in the future to your past experience. If you're a French Canadian born in Quebec, these experiences are very wonderful and sometimes very aggravating. It's not always easy to be a French Canadian in Canada. It's not always easy to be an English Canadian in Canada. It's not always easy to be a Westerner with Ottawa. I know that. But you have to face yourself and meet the challenge. Le Parti Québécois had been elected for 2 years, 1976, a date where everybody thought the skies would turn green. Remember that famous cartoon of Iceland, take a Valium. It was funny for others, but not very funny in Quebec. It was difficult to live with. Then Mr. Lévesque, who is a very honest man, you know, I'm not a partisan politician who cannot accept that somebody who's running against me has all the fault and I've got all the virtues. I cannot be like that. And because I was trained as a journalist, and journalists are not all lousy, and journalists are not all opinionated, they're not all on one side. Automatically in the National Assembly, when the Liberals were attacking the Pickies, I began to defend them, Mr. Ryan said, keep quiet. So it was a bit difficult to be truly partisan. But at the time, I was elected because people were afraid, and I represented a kind of security. The same kind of security that Mr. Ryan represented, but with much more knowledge and maturity. He's a great man. I know that the Liberal Party in Quebec now are engaging in a ping-pong game, who is going to throw the first dart in his heart. Well, I'm a defeated Liberal, but I do not share all of this, and this is one of the reasons why I'm no more a member of the Liberal Party, because I think the Liberal parties, whether it is in Ottawa or Quebec, doesn't know how to lose. And if you don't know how to lose an election, I fear that when you win it, you don't use it in the best way for the people. Maybe not a right thought, but it's my own, and I have experienced it. So when the referendum came, there we were, two of us, not young, having a long experience of Canadians, and we did the referendum campaign. I'd like to tell you a bit about it, because what you heard in your newspaper, pardonnez-moi, monsieur, is not also, and it is not always what was said in Quebec. I have, with Mr. Ryan, made, talked five times a day in 48 towns in Quebec for 3 weeks. I have spoken to more than 100,000 women and men in Quebec. And I say women because some of you may remember the famous Yvettes, the famous gaffe of Madame Lise Payette, who probably regrets it very much. But when we walked in the forum on that night and saw 15,000 women standing up for what they believe, men got courage the next morning because they didn't have much the night before, I'm sorry. It was very difficult to get businessmen in Quebec and outside to stand up for the no and to be able to express their views, because they were fearing the government and fearing to lose contact and fearing to lose all kinds of things. But the day after, 15,000 women stood up in the forum, somehow more men came. And I'm not a feminist, but this time I was a Quebecer. And I still am. So we went across Quebec. What did we hear? Not once, and I have traveled with ministers of the federal government, with conservatives, with members of the NDP, because under that umbrella of the no, we were very numerous. It was not only the Liberals. There were all kinds of people who believed in the no for some reasons. We believed in the continuity of Canada. What did we say? What did we promise during this campaign? Did we promise to patriate? Not once. That's why I'm still very angry. We promised to renew the Confederation of Canada. We promised to have a new sharing of powers between the provinces and the central government. We told the people of Quebec that at long last the central government was ready, we believed so, to promote institutions in the political fields, in the financial fields, in the Senate, in the Supreme Court. We wanted to enshrine the Supreme Court of Canada, which, Monsieur le Juge, I think you will agree with me, it's time to do. A court as important as this one should be enshrined in the Constitution. We promised to renew this. We told the people of Quebec that Canada at long last has learned its lesson, and it was afraid that Canada might rupture itself because we could have lost it so easily. I wonder if sitting here in Vancouver, rainy or not, you have an idea what it was these 3 weeks where French-speaking Canadians battled against each other, hated each other, threw insults and threats at each other. I don't think you ever lived anything like this in any other parts of Canada. I don't think any Canadian except Quebecers, forgive me, has one kind of an idea what it is to have political maturity. And Quebecers have, and they've shown it. Because I don't know in any other society than in this society of Canada that people could fight as we did and throw insults at each other as we did and threats on our lives. Don't fool yourselves. This was not a game. And yet conduct themselves in an extraordinary dignity that on the night when we won, we were not all that happy. There was a sadness in the victory. There was a great satisfaction over having proven our attachment to this country, because we did. But there was also a sadness because those which were maybe our sons or our daughters or maybe our sister or our husband were against and were not that night celebrating. It's about time that somebody like me should stand up in English Canada and remind you that you did not say thank you, because we won back Canada for you again. We didn't hear much word of thanks in Quebec. I'm sorry, but I have to say it. And we felt very lonely on the morrow of our victory, because everybody sat down, heaved a big sigh, and say, let's continue. But we were not waking up that Mr. Chrétien was off inviting people to a constitutional conference. And again, I want to explain to you how we felt. We had won. Mr. Trudeau had won, yes. Mr. Trudeau has made 4 speeches. And at those 4 speeches, I had the honor to be there, because I was introducing Mr. Ryan between Mr. Chrétien and Mr. Trudeau. And at the time, I was a bit bewildered, because the press had reported many times that Mr. Ryan thought he was speaking only to God, and Mr. Trudeau was very sure that God was only speaking to him. So in the middle, it was a bit difficult to try to find your way. And if you're shocked, please don't be. If we can't have a sense of humor in this country, what is left? Thank you. So, the Constitutional Conference was set for September. So those of us who had won were not invited to the party. Mr. Lévesque, who had lost, was invited. It was difficult. Why? We have lived without the five articles of our Constitution in Canada for 114 years. I thought we could live for 4 more years. But Mr. Trudeau decided that Mr. Lévesque should be at the table. And he was there, and those of us who had won the referendum were not. And English Canada was told that the patriation, unilateral patriation, was done to honor a promise to Quebec which was never made. Because I'm going to quote you the words of Prime Minister Trudeau on the 14th of May. And I'm going to tell you why I remember the 14th of May, because it's my birthday. And I was 60 years old. You remember that. You have it only once. Thank God. Now, I wish you'd laugh a bit so I can find the page. Will you? Thank you. It's got here somewhere. Yes, there it is. I hope you forgive me, Monsieur of the Vancouver Sun, if I am a bit crazy, but I think it's probably the best way to keep the audience. Is it not? Anyway, I can find the page, yes. Voilà, voilà. This is my book, and I have been writing a political diary for the last 12 years, no, the last 15 years. There is 12 volumes of this, starting from Dear Enemies, which I wrote years ago with a tremendous Canadian author whose name was Gwesolyn Graham. You may remember Earth and High Heaven. Well, I co-wrote with her Dear Enemies, and this is the 12th of the book. And on the 14th of May, I was sitting in the Centre Paul Sauvé between Mr. Claude Ryan, Mr. Jean Chrétien, Mr. Trudeau, Mr. Jean Chrétien, Madame Shapiro, and Mr. Ryan. There was two tremendous speeches. Mr. Trudeau made a beautiful speech, a magnificent speech, very moving, very proud of him. People went wild in the Centre Paul Sauvé. They were, some of were crying, some were yelling. It was a very beautiful speech. But I'm going to say to you, I'm going to repeat his word in French, and I'm going to try to translate them in English, hoping they mean the same thing. Voici ce qu'il a dit, le Premier ministre. Je prends l'engagement solennel qu'après un non, nous allons mettre en marche le renouvellement de la Constitution et nous n'arrêterons pas avant que ce soit fait. In English, it means, I take the solennel engagement that after a no victory, we will proceed to the renewal of our confederation and we shall not stop until it is over. The people of Quebec believe that very much. That doesn't mean patriation at all. It means the renewal of your institution. It means that really you're going to try to look at your society not to fit only Quebec, but to fit the demands of Alberta and of BC and the demands of the other provinces. It means that you're going to renew your political institution in order that the regions and the province have a say in it. It means that you're going to revamp your Senate in order that the province will get in it, not decentralize, but to regionalize this country. That's what it means, the renewal of the Constitution. And that's what we believed in, those of us who won the no fight. But we were gypped of that no. And I'm very angry at that, because the no for the referendum became a plebiscite in order that Mr. Trudeau patriate the Constitution, which is a noble aim in itself. I know of no country today who would not be proud to have its Constitution in its own drawer or under a glass in Charlottetown, as they say. All right, I want my Constitution too. I'm going to be proud if I have my Constitution in Canada. But providing it meets with the requirement of each provinces of Canada, providing it meets the demand of the people of Canada, providing it is not done only to further a dream, how great the dream is. So patriation came, and Mr. Lévesque came home defeated, bitter, angry, and lonely. Quebec is not in it. I'm in your province. Your premier did a good job, and he had a difficult job to do. So I will not judge because I wasn't there. I can only tell you how it felt and how we feel, how we felt in Quebec following all of this on television. Because this is the great thing about television, that they also always show us what is wrong about this country, seldom what is right. But anyway, some of us will try to do better one of these days. So what did we see? We see Mr. Lévesque falling into a trap, a big alliance between Quebec and Ottawa, all of a sudden, for a national referendum. Nobody understood why Mr. Lévesque fell into that trap. Maybe he was tired. I give him the benefit of the doubt, as I do to your own premier, the benefit of the doubt. But I've got great doubts about both. Anyway. So, during a night, in the absence of many premiers, an accord was signed. A charter of right is going to be enshrined. That's supposed to protect many things, it does not. And a constitution will come back in Canada. This is good, in one way. But if you have looked at the economy conference last week, is this really a country that holds together, or is it not a country that is tied with plastic surgery or, how do you call it, the scotch tape, and maybe Irish or whatever tape, eh? I mean, when you look at the premiers and you look at Prime Minister Trudeau, who had, would amongst themselves sign a new treaty for Canada and let's have the Constitution of Canada in Canada. The Queen is going to come and present us with a new constitution. Fine, this is beautiful at last. But where is Quebec? It's not important, maybe. I think I would be also here tonight and say, if you had not signed it, where is British Columbia? A country that is 10 writes itself a constitution. And what is a constitution? Is it only a boring subject? It is the fiber of your nations. It is the very core of what you believe. It is the dignity of your democracy. It is the reason why you are so proud to have the freedom that we have. Why am I not a separatist after all these years and after all these failures? Because a country who is big enough and strong enough to permit the election of a government which is my government in Quebec, whether I like it or not, it is a legitimate government, whose aim is to break that country. I believe that country is worth saving, and that is why I'm here tonight, not for any other reason, because bilingualism and all of this, I've had it. Never more I am going to speak anywhere in Canada in trying to induce you or your government or your school boards of the benefit of speaking two languages. I've had it. I do speak three languages, and even three at times, because each one of them is not all that good, so it makes a third one. But for the freedom of Canada, I will stand up. For the freedom of political, I will stand up. For the freedom of expression, I will stand up and defend Canada. For the freedom of writing in any journalist, in any newspaper of Canada, if they allow me, and I'm not begging you, sir, but I will stand up for that, because I can say in the Vancouver Sun that I'm a bit angry about British Columbia. Suppose I were, I'm not. And this is a freedom so important. And that is the very core of my being a Quebecer and a Canadian. So Quebec, after patriation, we come to the last bit of this very maybe incoherent speech, but it's done with everything I believe in, because, you know, it is the first time I speak since I am defeated, and it's not easy. It's not easy. But I'm glad it's here. It breaks the ice. Quebec after patriation. What? How? Suppose you were premier of Quebec. You have been elected on a platform that said openly, we want to achieve independence with some kind of association with the rest of the country. Now, this is what they want. Doesn't mean it's what they're going to get. What Lola wants, Monsieur Lévesque will not get. Maybe, but who knows? It's a government that was honest, and I'm not part of it, and I fought it, not in words, in the National Assembly and in the referendum. And I think I deserve to be heard, because it has not been all that easy. So that government now has been humiliated. It has worked well. Let's remember just a few things. Is it too long? Would you give me 10 minutes more? And 5 minutes to drink? Sure. No. Another 15 minutes, maybe. Where was I? Mon Dieu, oui. That government went to Ottawa. It did not want to go to Ottawa. Suppose I was prime minister. Thank goodness I'm not, but suppose I was. And I was a premier of Quebec. Oh, by the way, did you know that the province of Ontario and the province of Quebec are the two provinces that can have a prime minister, not a premier? Because to us, a premier is, you wonder who's the second. You know, it's a funny word, but a prime minister. So Prime Minister Lévesque went to Ottawa at the demand, politely written, of Mr. Trudeau. He didn't want to go there because that's not his aim. When he lost the referendum, Mr. Lévesque has lost a great deal, and we Liberals of Quebec lost a great opportunity to ask the government to resign. We made an awful blunder there, and I'll accept that easily. I don't know why we made it, but we did. But when he went there, and I was told that by many people who were there from this province too, sir, because I know some of these people, through the Pepin Robert, we met many people, who told me that, and Mr. Lévesque and Mr. Morin negotiated openly and honestly. And don't forget, it had not been for them, I don't think the Supreme Court of Canada would have been asked to decide, can you patriate a constitution without the approval of the province in a federation where you have a division of power, where the principle of a political regime like ours is that division of power, is that respect of the powers of the provincial and the government. So the Supreme Court rule, the gesture of Mr. Trudeau is legal, but it is unconventional or unconstitutional. In my word, it was a hot potato, or, you know, pushed right back. But it was a beautiful one because it respected the tradition. And what is a country? Is it only law? Do you ask me here tonight because there is a certain law that says it would be elegant if the Vancouver Institute would have a token French Canadian as its guest speaker? Is that why? No? Thank you. I hope you would say no. I wasn't sure. But even that, there is a convention about it. A convention which makes us all together be well together, even if we disagree with a certain elegance, and we disagree with a certain respect for one another. This is what the Supreme Court says, sir, this is legal what you're doing, but you go against all the trend of Canadians. Canadians are negotiators, not the best kind maybe, but they do negotiate, they do compromise. They do arrive at a certain équilibre de power. Les Canadiens veulent s'entendre malgré tout. They try hard. They fail, but they try. This is what a constitution is all about, and this is what patriation was all about. And the Supreme Court, in its wisdom, made every one of us reflect. Every one of us reflect, I think, though we were bored, because we pretend to be bored. And I know that Canadians are more in love with their problems than with the solution, because if we found solution, I wouldn't be here. CBC would close, the National would be 10 minutes, mon Dieu. You know? So thank God for problems in Canada, because if we didn't have them, I don't know what we'd do. So now we're going to be faced with that. We're going to be faced with a government who is going to patriate a constitution. We're going to try to live together in everlasting happiness. Is that possible? I don't know. I don't know. My feeling, and I'm going to end on this note, which is not going to be a very cheerful note, but you know, it's very chic to end with a problem. Probably you'll ask me another 6 months to find out another problem. Anyway, we'll see. I keep wondering if we could not go back to our understanding, and I know I'm going to shock every one of you, so I'm sorry, But I wonder, after having looked at the economy conference, after having seen the ease with which Prime Minister Trudeau put this report, which had a beautiful title, A Future Together, you know, we worked hard for that, and it has some of the solution, and it was put in the wastebasket within 2 days after we had worked 2 years over it. I'm very bitter about it. Don't fool yourself. I am, and very angry. Very angry about it. We'll never forgive Prime Minister Trudeau. Doesn't care, but I do. So I'll never forgive him for that, because I think there were solutions in there. But since this is not accepted, since every one of the proposals of the province since a few years have been rejected, whether they are in the economy field, whether they are in the cultural field, whether they are in the relationship of the provinces and of the central government, the Pepin Robert suggested, and other people have done, that equality between the provinces and the central government should be enshrined in the constitution, so that there will not never be a second-class citizen in Canada, anywhere in Canada, that all the province would have the same equality, no specials privilege, but a distinctive recognition of each of our region's special character. Since it's not possible, could it be not possible to think that maybe in 10 years we will become a true confederation of sovereign states, but keeping a Canadian identity? Now, I'm going to add 5 minutes to my 10 minutes, and then I'll sit down, I'll promise you. But I want to tell you something that I have learned, and I wasn't aware of it. When I took part in the referendum for 3 weeks, without stopping, I went to Montreal, Sherbrooke, Three Rivers, down the Gaspé Coast, up in the Abitibi, Le Saguenay, le tout Québec. What did I hear people tell me? That the most important thing for them was to retain their Canadian identity. Je veux être un Canadien, madame. J'aime ce pays, madame. Quand je vais en Europe, je porte la feuille d'érable, madame, avec plaisir. But I do not trust totally the system of government in which we live. So it taught me a lesson. What is dearer? What is the most important things for all Canadians throughout the country? It's not the political system, it's the Canadian identity. Here or there or there. This is what we want to retain. So maybe we could start looking at that, not searching for it, by golly, we have it. But try to do something with it. If a federation doesn't work because the tension between Westerners and Easterners, or between Newfoundland and Alberta, are too difficult, then let's try to become more sovereign and enshrine in our constitution a second system of taxation or of péréquation, which is the transfer of money from the federal to the have-not province. Let's try to invent something else so that we would have a sovereignty in the provinces and a Canadian identity that would link all of us together and leave of our own free will some more power to the federal government. Now, I'm not sure at all this is a good solution, but out of everything that I have seen over the last 20 years, I wonder if we could not begin to look for something else than always try to rehash the past. Always try to say what Sir John A. thought or what Sir Georges-Étienne Cartier thought. How do we know? So why not take what they both thought of this country and try to make it better? Again, as a French-speaking Canadian, as a Quebecer, a very strongly nationalist Quebecer, doesn't mean I hate the rest of the country, not at all. But I'm strongly attached to Quebec. It's the place where I was born, where my children are, where I'm totally at ease de parler français, sans devoir m'exprimer, sans devoir changer de mots, sans m'excuser. I've chosen in the referendum again to remain a Canadian. But I'm not so sure that this country loves Quebec as much as Quebec has shown that it loves Canada. You have a part to play too. So maybe if we help each other, maybe we'll make it, and maybe we will have this future together. Merci, merci, merci.
Madame has kindly consented to answer questions, if there are any. I would ask you to repeat the question, if you would, because they can't hear.
No question?
You've
what
convinced
fun.
Them.
You mean I've settled the whole problem? Tell Mr. Trudeau, will you? Oui, monsieur. Yes, sir. The question is, I have spoken about the political scenes. What are the young people of Quebec's view on this whole scene? I knew I was 62, but I didn't have to be reminded so bluntly, monsieur. Unfortunately, there is a vast disenchantment in the youth of Quebec for all politicians, and I don't blame them because we're pretty boring. But a vast number of young Quebecois are very much in favor of Mr. Lévesque and his thesis. Because in such a thesis, there is an emotional impact. You know, it's a lot of fun to sing Les gens de mon pays. But it's not a lot of fun to sing Le fédéralisme de mon pays. It's a bit dry. So it's easy to understand that. But if you take the time to go beyond the young people, I don't like to say the young people because I would like to think I'm a part of them, not in years, but in head. When you take the time to discuss with them, you will find out that they are not totally for Mr. Lévesque. They do respect Mr. Trudeau very much. They when they travel across Canada, they like it a hell of a lot, but they don't quite understand. So it's as difficult for them as it is for us. So it would be difficult for me to say all the youth of Quebec are for Mr. Lévesque. We had 900 youth, for example, at one of our conventions in the Liberal Party. Which was unused of because Mr. Ryan is not particularly enchanting when you're 18. I have to say the thing as they are. It doesn't mean he's not enchanting when you're 60, but still. So, therefore, you have to, mind you, Mr. Lévesque is not also the best looking man that I know either, you know. So, again, they're as separated as the young people are in every province. Is all the young people of British Columbia for Mr. Bennett? Je ne sais pas. Peut-être. I think I heard a laugh that explains a lot down there. Alors, monsieur, that's the only answer, honestly, that I can give you. Otherwise, I would think myself for a mother superior, which I hope I'm not. Madame.
Was anyone conscious in Quebec that after the Quiet Revolution started, there were people in Vancouver who were sitting around, young people, with people of my age, and discussing whether if Quebec wanted separation, they should have the right to with some association, even then?
Yes.
And then we all decided, after a lot of talk, that perhaps we would all lose our Canadian identity, and we were fearful of that.
Oh, yeah.
We were all fearful.
The question was, were we aware in Quebec that after the Quiet Revolution, there were a lot of young people here discussing the scene in Quebec and wondering whether Quebec should secede and whether it seceded, would it secede with it within a democratic system? It's about what you're asking.
Or whether we would all lose Canada.
Yes, well, yes. I think in every province at the time of the Quiet Revolution, you remember there was a long, tedious, boring shows on television every week about the so-called, and you know the famous, what does Quebec want? You know, I said some like scotch, other whiskey, some like a double martini, others like cabbage. What, you know, what does Quebec want? But, yes, we were aware of that, and because at the time, you know, Quebec was coming very outspoken. Do you remember the furies here in British Columbia when Mr. Lesage made a mistake in English and said Quebec demands instead of Quebec would wish or whatever? Mon Dieu, you'd think the war was declared because he demanded something. So yes, we were aware that people were beginning to wonder, and this is a good sign. Yes, there was understanding. Yes, there was understanding at some part and great misunderstanding at other part, as well as in Quebec. You know, Quebec doesn't know much more about BC than BC knows about Quebec. At the time you're speaking of now, I think the relationship is much more akin. I am very struck. Now, mind you, to judge the whole of British Columbia on three rainy days, it's a bit much, and I've met about 10 persons, so my judgment is a bit sighted. But anyway, I am very surprised that I have done three television shows, two radio shows, and interviews and everything. Nobody has talked about French and English. The relationship is Quebec as province now, and there is a kinship because of the patriation. It's a beautiful thing in one way that we are no more French and English, we're Quebec and Western or BC or Alberta, but all of a sudden we are not individuals, we are collectivity. We are beginning to be at long last a nation or two nations or three nations of provinces and of regions. And it shows to me, it's the first time I was so aware of it here. Because usually the first question I was asked, you know, is about Bill 101 or the language ask, and should we have a stamp in French, and mon Dieu. Bon. Not once. It was only, what does Quebec feel about the patriation? Will Quebec go back to sit? Are you very angry at what Mr. Bennett, you know? It's a new feeling that I had, and I must say a very heartwarming one in one way. Two more questions, and then I am really tired. Sorry. Oui, monsieur. Speak loud, because I think you belong in Halifax or somewhere. Yes.
Madame,
oui.
I don't have a question, just have a statement. I hope you in Quebec understand that there are many of us in Canada who are Canadian who feel that without Quebec, there is no Canada.
Merci. I love you. Thank you. Yes.
I realize the fact that speaking to you, someone from you in English, has realized the importance of language because French is also my native language. And now,
is that Paul?
Sorry.
Are you Paul Fleury?
No.
No, I'm sorry. I thought. Okay.
Well,
There's about 3,000 questions in your statement, but I'll try to answer one of them. First of all, in 50 years, you'll be more equipped to answer that than me. And secondly, better marry a French-Canadian wife and have a lot of little French-Canadians so we'll feel more secure. Seriously. Seriously. It is normal for a community or a society who is never quite sure of its tomorrow to rally against and for its language. Let me make a comparison without wanting to hurt anybody. It's a comparison. All the Jewish community of all the world has rallied against around La Torah. That was the spiritual pattern of the Jewish people throughout the world, La Torah, wherever they were, the book. A people in search of itself looks for spiritual value, whether they are religious, whether they are cultural or artistic. You have to cling to something which is bigger than you to believe that you're going to survive that which is smaller than you. And that's the reason why in Quebec we cling and we attach so much importance to language. It's not because we think that any other language is not as good as ours. It's simply because that is the focus. Quebec has been many things since 1774, but the Act of Quebec, signed in 1774, recognized the French was the language of La Nouvelle France, then the language of Le Bas-Canada, and it is still the language of Quebec. That is our Torah. That is our spiritual value around which we gather. In 100 years, I'll be singing Alleluia in Latin in sky, and that's all.
To express our gratitude to Madame, I'd ask Mr. Davey, the publisher of the Vancouver Sun, to speak.
Madame, I'm totally inadequate because my last French teacher was John Diefenbaker. One magnificent thing about La plus belle langue française is that it has certain phrases that sum up better than anything we could do in English. Spirit, emotionalism, and all that I would say in describing your speech tonight is that, quelle élégance. I should add, however, that we who live at the foot of big mountains are thrilled that you have come to show us that there are other kinds of liberals. We're grateful because we recognized in the course of your speech that it was an emotional occasion for you. We're grateful that you've chosen to break the ice with us. We're quite certain that it will never be frozen again. And on behalf of all the Canadians in this room, we would like to thank you, a truly magnificent Canadien.
Yes, yes.
Merci.